Welcome to the 359. I'm Roger Chang.
I'm Joni Salzman.
The Razr is coming back. We know Motorola will launch its first foldable smartphone this summer, which I reported on 2 weeks ago. Our own Patrick Holland has a nice commentary on why the Razr is the real foldable phone to get excited about. So far, all these other phones we've seen, the Galaxy Fold, the Mate X, they all fold out into this big tablet. We've seen some patent images and some concept photos for a phone that looks a lot like the original Razr, but with the foldable display on the inside. So this would be smaller, much, much smaller than the other foldable phones in the market.
Right.
Is that something that you'd find attractive?
Well, I think it's really interesting that, you know, part of the appeal of a foldable phone, besides like the flashiness of a new gizmo, style of gizmo, is that it allows you to have the bigger screen. And so I think it's kind of fun that Motorola was like, yeah, it could give you a bigger screen if you fold the phone, but we'll just keep it small because they're like going for like the nostalgia factor rather than like, hey, we'll give you a bigger screen factor. And I think that's kind of clever.
It's different for sure.
It's different. Yeah.
When everyone's thinking more screen, which to be fair, a lot of people want more screen.
Yeah. It's very valid.
They're definitely going the exact opposite approach. No, this is going to be pocketable. We're shedding the idea that like your phone has to be this massive brick and it's a tiny phone. I do think about my Razr once in a while fondly.
Like, I have a fond memories of Razrs, like, and I never even had one.
It was super thin, and it kicked off this whole trend of super thin phones.
It had that shine and the way you like clipped it shut felt so like, I don't know, just felt
there was something, the tactile feel of being able to open and close that thing. We'll see if it sort of matches that original nostalgic feel to
it.
I mean, if they were smart, they'd really keep the exterior like very similar to the original Razr.
But it obviously can't have that same like snap feel to like when you open and close it if it's a folding phone.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't know. Well, if it's a metal case, maybe. I don't know. Like you.
Maybe.
We'll see. In terms of the price, though, rumors point to $1,500. It could be more expensive now that we've got the Mate X and the Galaxy Fold out there, really at the $2,000 to $2,600 range. So pretty expensive. So where were you when Facebook and Instagram went down?
Is that the new Kennedy assassination question?
The social networking giant suffered a massive outage yesterday and still hasn't given the all clear yet today. So it's been more than 20 hours, making it the longest outage in Facebook history. How did you survive without Facebook?
I did fine, but you know, that's because it's not Facebook and also Instagram, which got roped into the outage as well.
It was out for several hours. Instagram did give the okay earlier this morning that it's back online, but still nothing from Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something that Alfred Ng, our security reporter, pointed out to me yesterday is that there has been speculation that this is a DDoS, some sort of DDoS-like security attack.
Right.
And from what he told me yesterday, if things have changed, I'm not aware of it, that there's been no evidence so far that this. So what we're thinking right now is that it's not an attack. It might just be. I saw someone on Twitter posit that like Zuckerberg's tower PC from his Harvard days is still plugged in somewhere on the campus of Harvard. And like someone just like yoinked
it out
and that like blew out all the lights.
I mean, look, it's just sort of the latest in kind of a fairly long run of terrible news. I mean, this isn't the worst thing.
This is like quaint in how
this is definitely quaint.
Unupsetting this like problem with Facebook
but
is.
But it's still a problem, and it's a problem that people cared about.
I mean, Facebook is the internet in a lot of countries. In a lot of developing countries, that it's like interchangeable how people consider the internet and Facebook. So while in places like the U.S., and other really developed, highly connected nations, it's kind of like an annoyance. But in some places, it can be a real problem.
No, that's a very good point. Lastly, we want to talk about streaming services. Dave Katzmeyer took a look at DirecTV Now's decision to both raise its prices while eliminating some channels, although it's adding HBO in there.
Right.
But it's jacking up its cheapest package by $10 to $50, making it the most expensive option out there.
Right.
So, nah.
I mean, DirecTV Now, this is the second time they've raised price in a year.
Yep.
And what we saw the last time they raised price and when their competitor Sling TV raised price at the same time, people fled. Their growth in subscribers just like hit a wall. So clearly they don't mind losing subscribers. I don't know exactly what the play is here.
Profitability.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So for a full coverage, check us out on CNET. I'm Roger Chang.
I'm Joni Salzman.
Thanks for listening.